I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder how well you have coped with the clocks changing and the darker evenings. I used to hate it when I was working, as it meant having to drive home in the dark. But I'm not so bad now. However, until the last few days, the sun seemed to have disappeared altogether, even in the day. It's not just the weather that can make our moods gloomy. Often it's all the things happening in the world. I just dread turning on the news in the morning can be a daily worry. The many areas of conflict in the world, the return of fascism in many parts of the world, including, sadly, Europe, climate change, including the awful floods in Spain, and then, of course, there is the publication of the Making Review into how the TOE handled, or didn't, allegations of serious abuse by the late John Smith and the subsequent resignation of the Archbishop of Canterbury. How ironic that today is Safeguarding Sunday. Today's Bible readings seem to align with these darker and sadder thoughts. In the Gospel reading, just after the disciples marvel at the impressive structure of the temple, Jesus responds by predicting that not one stone will be left upon another, signalling a coming destruction. He goes on to speak of wars, earthquakes and famines, warning that these are the beginning of birth pains rather than the end itself. Then he urges his followers to remain vigilant and not be led astray by false messiahs or terrifying events. If we're not careful, we might find ourselves thinking that Jesus is speaking directly to us today and that we're in the end times or preparing to meet our Maker. Judging by the growing number of bucket list books in circulation, books to read, places to visit, experiences to encounter, music to listen to, it seems we're becoming obsessed with the idea of end times. In this genre of literature, is this genre of literature a way of acknowledging our humanity and coming to terms with our mortality? I wonder. Or consider, and I get really cross with them, the large number of daytime TV ads about direct cremation, so that loved ones needn't experience any inconvenience or have space to grieve when we have shuffled off this mortal coil. Do we spend enough time really thinking through what will happen to us all? And if we look at the other Bible reading for this week, in Hebrews, we are invited to face our mortality. In contrast to the Gospel reading, this time there's a different emphasis. We are encouraged to approach the end of life with gratitude and confidence, knowing we are deeply loved by God and bound for eternal life. We prepare for death by embracing the assurance of God's love for us, holding tightly to hope and drawing strength from our faith community. Let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. So we ask for the courage to prepare for our own death with positivity and faith. In our prayer or conversation with God, we can do so without fear or hesitation, even as we consider our mortality. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have direct access to God's presence, which is a source of peace, comfort, and strength as we face life's end. As we prepare to confront our own mortality, we are encouraged to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This is an invitation to maintain a hopeful perspective about death. Our hope is grounded in God's faithfulness and the promise of eternal life. Embracing this promise allows us to approach death with peace, viewing it not as an end, but as a transition into a fuller life with God, putting our hand into the hand of God. And if we are fortunate enough to have deep friendships, supportive family, or a faith community, then preparing for our death might be something we would value sharing with the support and love of others. It reminds us of the importance of loving and being loved. Today's reading emphasizes the importance of community, saying, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and not giving up meeting together." Community is essential in facing both life and death. Being part of a supportive faith community can help us cultivate a positive outlook as we face our mortality, as we encourage one another, pray together, and remind each other of the hope we have in Christ. So let us go back to today's gospel reading and reflect on what it means for us on Safeguarding Sunday. The setting of this passage is towards the end of Jesus' ministry on earth and in the vicinity of the temple, which, having been destroyed twice, was newly completed and generally accepted as one of the most beautiful and amazing buildings in the world. It stood as a symbol of the glory that would come back to God's chosen people, a sign of permanence, of stability. In the disciples' opinion, it was magnificent. There are many places today, places of Christian worship, of which we are justly proud. We work hard to maintain them. We are required to preserve them. We delight in their brilliance, or perhaps their simplicity, and often their age. We honour them. We can understand the pride and awe the disciples felt for their new temple building, and like them, might fully expect Jesus to agree. But instead, Jesus' reply is, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." When Jesus says this, he's not advocating aggression or destruction. He's not relishing the fact that this amazing structure that is the temple, built to glory God, is worthless or should be destroyed. He's telling it like it is. And in fact, it was just a relatively short time later that the Romans stripped the temple and it was torn down again, never to be rebuilt. A few partial walls remain. Neither is Jesus denigrating our own places of worship and our enjoyment of them. He's highlighting to each one of us that these things are all transient, that our buildings, whilst magnificent, are just buildings, that all this will pass. He warns further that there will be some who will come and deceive us, pretend to be something that they are not, pretend to be good when they are not. In the end, it is the people, not the building. What we do, not where we do it. What's in our hearts. Our buildings may provide safety to an extent from the elements, but it's the people who provide emotional and physical safety. It is you and I who look out for each other, for everyone, and especially the vulnerable, young or old. And who knows when we too might be vulnerable. It's not necessarily a permanent state, although it may be, but when we are there, it's the people who can shield and protect us. Safeguarding is by people for people. It's all our Christian calling. Let us all recommit to that calling today on Safeguarding Sunday and every day. Safeguarding is the responsibility of all of us, and we can do this because God is at our side. Whenever we feel in a dark and uncertain place, it's about finding that peace and trusting God in ourselves and in the world around us. A peace and trust that allows us to be caught up and held by the God who has been there before we were born and will continue to be at our side in this life and in all eternity. Amen.